Welcome to Raw Dog.
This is a podcast where we discuss sex, intimacy, and our experiences working in the adult industry.
We're Evie and Axel, and we are a real-life Melbourne couple who work together as escorts.
Which means we've really seen some things.
This is extremely adult content, so if you're listening at your nan's house, maybe don't.
You've been warned. Let's go.
Hey, Daddy.
Hey, baby girl.
Neil, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Being a good girl today, behaving.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, you're always behaving.
Always. I'm good at praise kink, after all.
You do.
I sure do. But that's not what we're talking about today.
What are we talking about today?
We're talking about role play.
And the role that that kind of play can play in a broader sexual experience.
Exactly that. So let's get into it.
Absolutely. Well, role play is something I feel like neither of us really lent into that very much until we met.
No. I think I found it incredibly edgy and there was a lot of kind of shame or uncomfortability attached to role play.
Yeah. Where did the shame come from for you?
I think it was being really honest about wanting to explore things that were perhaps considered taboo or inappropriate or not okay in a general sense. So, you know, we're raised with an idea of what is okay and what isn't. And I guess some of the things, I know some of the things that I like playing with and that I'm curious about and enjoy are considered no-nos in general society and the way that we're told we should experience sex.
Yeah. I think it was similar for me. I never actually really consciously thought about it because I felt like it was inaccessible to me for most of my life anyway. So I kind of just parked it. There was no point in me kind of asking whether it was appropriate or not because it was just never going to happen anyway. But I feel like for me, the fear of being ridiculed for the sort of thing that I would ask for from my partner would have stopped me from even exploring that. Like, you know, let's say there was something that I thought I might get off on, like the idea of saying that to my partner and for them to kind of look at me like, what, that's disgusting, that's ridiculous. That alone would have just ended the conversation, never to be raised again, you know?
I totally relate to that. There would be so much shame in receiving ridicule from someone that you really value or love or respect, and to feel like they were critiquing something that was, like, you know, very vulnerable to share would be, yeah, destroying. It's all destroying in a way. So I think that's a big part of it for me too. I relate. Yeah.
And also it can be like to ask of someone to step into something that they might not be entirely comfortable with, even if they sort of like, look, it's okay, it's no shame on you for wanting that, but I would really struggle to get to step into that. And to have the experience of them trying to do that and failing to do that for your benefit, you're kind of like, my desire to explore this is now coming at the expense of this person having to embarrass themselves, trying to, I don't know, dress up like a nurse or whatever, you know.
So for them to feel discomfort, the person you love and value, to be uncomfortable in something that you desire for, when that's the last thing you want for the person that you love, is to be uncomfortable or embarrassed or you know, feel awkward. So it's very edgy territory.
It is. Like you really need to have a very open mind and a very broad comfort zone in order to kind of offer your partner the safety of you know, stepping into that, having the courage to ask for something. You almost have to ask for some things. There's like, look, if I get rejected asking for this, I'll be okay. We'll test the waters with that and see how open-minded this person really is before I drop the bomb, you know?
Yeah, especially in the initial stages when you're getting to know someone over the first few months and you really don't know who you're dealing with entirely. You haven't got to the kind of deeper parts or the sensitive bits yet. So that first kind of testing ground, where you tentatively step in and be like, well, you know, you might frame it like, you know, someone I know or, you know, did you hear about? I think once you develop an understanding of each other, a real safety and foundation, then these conversations become quite easy. I've never had these conversations I've never experienced them being easy prior to this relationship. I've always found them to be difficult because there was usually a judgment, a shame or a rejection around the things that I would bring to, I'd say not all, but some of my previous partners. So it's really freeing to be able to have these conversations, and it's allowed for more expression of both of our full sexual spectrum and also healing as well, which I think a lot of people just tie it to this just, you know, dirty sex act. Mm. There's nothing more to it. It's shallow. And it's like, oh, it's not, babe.
Spicing things up a little bit.
Yeah.
But it can be a little bit more than that.
It can be.
In fact, for us, for the most part, it has been.
Absolutely. I think back on all the experiences have had some element of healing or reclamation in them.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Do you want to speak to any of those areas? Like what are the areas that you've felt like that you were reclaiming as part of some things that we played with?
Yeah. So I think without going into major detail, to keep it light, my experiences early on weren't always fantastic with men. Mm-hmm. So my early experiences weren't always pleasant. And there's a lot of reasons that I found myself in these situations. But being younger, going into experiences where I didn't feel fully, you know, respected, considered, valued, obviously there's trauma that comes from that, and that I have definitely addressed and have come to the other side of. But there will be residual trauma around, say, sexuality and tapping into certain parts of myself because of it. And so being able to, I guess, tap into a more innocent version of myself has been something I haven't done, because that is an incredibly vulnerable part. And it's not.
Yeah. What if you re-experience the traumatic thing?
Exactly.
Right?
And that would be terrible. That would be terrible too. And that would be, you know, more work to be done. And so I protected that part of myself, and not permitted it to kind of show up in any space. Even like I'm quite, you know, I've had to be quite independent over my whole life, and that goes in on all fronts, including my sexuality. I felt like I've had to have walls up to protect myself. So to be able to go, I feel safe enough to allow you to access this more innocent, vulnerable part of myself that in my earlier sexual years was not treated with the love, respect, and reverence that she deserved, knowing that you're going to meet me with love, respect, and reverence to offer that up has been incredibly healing, because it has allowed me to almost go back to that version of myself and go, here, this is exactly what you deserve. This is exactly how it should have been. Mm. And here is someone who loves you and respects you and is reverent to everything that you are. And this is what you should have experienced. And re-experiencing my earlier experiences now, it's almost like, you know, going back to that part and rewriting the script and re-experiencing it. And that is a healing experience. And you handled it with complete love, grace, and it was so integral in that part, being able to come to life, because she hadn't been accessible, because there was no safe way to access that part of myself in that setting. So that's something we've played with that I brought to you, and that has been amazing. And I find it incredibly like really loving and beautiful and very sexy as well, to be able to tap into that part of this like wholesome, you know, pure part of myself that fully deserves to feel pleasure and love and respect and reverence. So to be able to re-experience in that way has been just divine.
Yeah. Mm. It's almost like when we've had those experiences, you've almost tapped into the anxiety that a young person might feel in opening themselves up for the first time, or in, at least in the early stages, where you're kind of risking it all in this really almost like scary situation, and then to be met with the love and you know.
Yeah.
But the polarity created by that is very erotic.
It is. There's a friction to it, but it's like it's an offering, it's a receiving, there's an anxiety, but it's, I know that I'm going to be met in the most beautiful way, but my nervous system perhaps hasn't caught up with that. And so it comes into it quite anxious, and it might physically anxious, not so much emotionally, but physically my body will show up in a way that it would have back then.
Yeah.
And then to be met with something that soothes it and brings it down into this safe space and to be able to fully sink into just allowing myself to be held in that way and receive pleasure and love in that way, in a real pure, innocent form is just, yeah, really beautiful and really, really erotic and sensual and loving, really loving. So that's been really hot. Yeah, the part of myself I didn't think I would be able to truly access in a sexual way. So turns out we can. I'm curious to hear a little bit about something that you might have, we might have played with that has been enjoyable or healing or.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, you. Like, because that was your version of re-experiencing something from your, you know, younger years when you were sort of leaning into sexuality in the first place. For me, I had a very different experience in my early times. Like, for me, I didn't really have, I would say I was a late bloomer in terms of my emotional maturity and in terms of tapping into kind of eroticism in general. Like, we've had conversation about this before, like at a certain age where I was almost like oblivious to the sexuality happening around me in a way that maybe other men, boys or whatever my age would not have. So when I started tapping into my sexuality, it was almost because it was expected of me, like by my peer group, and having to live up to something because I perceived that I should, rather than actually coming from me wanting to do that. It was also at a time when I had pretty low self-esteem in general, which made everything all the more scary. And kind of like the scariness and the prematurity of it made it to be a pretty bad experience in many ways.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't receive abuse or anything like that, but my nervous system registered myself as being inadequate, not right for the job, really. Like, I felt like it was, I'm not what women want or girls want from a person in my age and position, and not being able to live up to that and tap into that. I know that as much as I tried, I really didn't feel like I was able to access my sexuality, even at the time when I was having sex, at an age when I was having sex. So, and also, like, in presenting that, I understand that that energy was seen by girls, women around me. And so it's not very sexy to a woman when a man comes in with that degree of uncertainty and lack of self-esteem and stuff. So what I felt that I got in return, understandably, wasn't access to what, you know, the feminine was able to or you know, could have offered me in that stage of my journey. I felt very kind of distanced from
distanced?
Yeah, distanced from female sexual energy. Like, it was something that I didn't properly tap into until a little bit later. So the play that we've done that has kind of allowed me to revisit my younger experiences have been around that. And I grew up in Sweden at the time, so my earlier sexual experiences were in a different country, and it was almost like a transition of moving here that the kind of it started a new relationship to the world in general and sexuality and so forth. But before that, definitely was kind of a time in my life where my connection to sexuality was very different. And I remember one time we played and you essentially embodied and represented almost like an embodiment of the female woman in kind of like that time of my life. So obviously it had youthful energy to it that the more youthful version of me could connect with and essentially experience being given what I experienced not receiving at that stage in my life.
Yeah.
And feeling kind of like accepted and embraced and enabled in that. You know, so that felt to me like a healing experience to be able to properly connect with something that maybe I at least believe I should have connected with at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. And what were some of the elements that you felt you connected in with in that experience of me tapping into, you know, the girl from Sweden.
The girl from Sweden.
Yeah, with my blonde wig.
You did have a blonde wig.
I did have a blonde wig.
Plaid or a braid or something.
Yeah, I had a braid. I had some cute makeup. I put some different perfume on.
Yeah.
I wore a different outfit to what I'd usually wear.
Yeah, you did. And like, you have big, beautiful blue eyes that, you know, very typically Scandinavian looking.
Got that Scandi blood in me.
Yeah, and the whole thing worked. And it was almost like, it was almost confronting because it was so believable might not be the right word, but it was so convincing. Like, it felt like such a real reframing of the situation. Like I really felt like I was making love with, and not just a specific person, but it was like the essence of the Scandinavian woman mm-hmm. of my youth.
Mm-hmm.
Like it felt almost like it felt alien in a way.
Right. Yeah.
And I feel like there's probably more work to be done in this area, but as the first time, I'm not sure if you've done it more than once, but the time that I remember, it was almost like a heightened experience. Like my nervous system was actually
heightened. Yeah, you're a bit activated and a little bit dysregulated because it's like, whoa, this is not something that I thought I could access. And it's bringing, almost going back in time into this earlier version of yourself, re-experiencing something that you didn't think you'd be able to, even though now you cognitively know that, you know, you can.
And it was quite intimidating, actually, because when you step back into something from your past to reconnect with that, you will come face to face with a lot of the emotions from the past as well. And for me to essentially be myself in that, it felt confronting. But hugely rewarding too. It's really exciting.
it's curious how sexual experiencing can be both a bit triggering but also healing too. And I think with certain parts of us, it does take a few times to really be able to find less trigger and more flow and more healing. It just depends on how much that impacted you.
You still have that wig, right?
I do. I've actually got a couple. I should whip that out at some time.
Yes.
Been a little while since we played with Gandhi Girl.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really fun to kind of tap into that energy and offer you that because I knew that was really meaningful to you.
And I remember afterwards, like being filled with sort of like love and gratitude, a bit like, you know, like you gave me that.
Mm.
It was a gift from you, an offering.
Yeah.
And not just as kind of like, oh, here, have the experience of having sex with another woman, but, you know, here, have the experience of reconnecting with something from your youth and allow me to embody this, the essence of what you're trying to connect with.
It's like you are worthy. You are, you know, able to access this beautiful, you know, experience. Like you're so deserving of that, and you always have been, but the younger version of you perhaps didn't know that because of your experiences or trauma or upsets.
Yeah.
So being able to go back and go, hey, actually, you know, you were and are worthy of this. So that's really nice.
Yeah, the audio doesn't capture tears.
But the cameras do. It's quite deep stuff.
A lot of
people think role play is just like, oh, it's all, you know, naughty and whips and chains and nun outfits and schoolgirl dresses. And it can be.
That can allow you to tap into the trauma of your Catholic upbringing.
Absolutely. But, you know, it's not just a surface thing, though.
No, absolutely.
It can be much deeper. And I think a lot of role play does tap into our deeper selves and allows for us to go back and just, you know, reconnect and remind ourselves that, you know, we are worthy, we are capable, we are safe, or whatever the message is that we need. There's a lot of healing in sex and intimacy and connection.
Absolutely.
When done with the right person. And I think, like, secondary to our, or, you know, moving away from personal experience, I really love bringing this part into my work and into our work by being able to offer perhaps some sense of healing parts of people or tapping into parts that they've always been really curious about. And again, for the same reasons. It's for the same reasons. Being able to go, you know, even in just offering an experience that is healing in nature. Like, I'm diverting from role play a little bit here to just go into general sexual healing, but be able to connect, say, with a couple. And we go in and we offer them an experience that they've asked for. And that could be something that really brings them closer or shows them different parts of each other that they can access. And that can be healing in itself, or, and it can be invigorating, and it can be so many things. Or there might be someone who does want to tap into a role play for the same reasons that we have, in order to find that different part of themselves, have a safe experience in which they can access that and feel, you know, desired or loved or considered or cared for or seen. And I think that on every level, there is so much healing that can be done in this space. Mm. It really can be.
Yeah.
It's very yummy.
Yeah. and even like in a solo one-on-one experience, a lot of clients want to tap into something that they feel obviously that they're missing in their day-to-day life.
Of course.
And maybe based on their experiences of the past or their ideas of what they want to experience, like in their mind, they probably wishes they were in a different life situation, maybe younger, maybe fitter, maybe something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I find like tapping into that version of this person through the experience of being with them,
mm-hmm.
Is a fantastic way to mirror back to them what it is they want to see in themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's hard to describe like the process of doing it, but it's
very like, intuitive when you have a sense for someone or for people or you feel quite embodied in your own sexuality, you can offer it quite fluidly, but it is hard to describe.
Mm.
Yeah.
But when you feel it, like when you can look in the eyes of this person and you almost intuitively feel what they want to see in themselves and then allow me, myself, to see that in them, they feel that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, whether it be, you know, being seen as desirable or
themselves. Young and free.
Able to just be themselves, be able to be free.
Mm. Yeah. And even just being loved for who they are too, like it's mirroring the experience that somebody wants. And at the end of the day, whether you know what the experience that they want is because, say, between us, we share it, we talk about it, and you have a very clear picture of what I'm trying to tap into.
Mm-hmm.
But intuition can teach you a lot about that, and just being with somebody too, like when you've had similar experiences before, you almost like feel like, oh, this person could really benefit from some of this energy.
Yes.
And it's not a role play in the sense of like, you know, like pretending to be the plumber knocking on the door.
Yeah,
it's
a deeper thing. It's
assuming an energetic role for this person.
Yes.
And if you can feel what feels like how it's received, and as you kind of weave through it, lean into a direction that they respond to,
yes,
you can almost create the experience of playing a role for someone.
For them,
without
yeah.
any words.
And this is why I think there's a very particular type of person that fits into being able to play this role or be in this work in a way that offers someone the ability to be seen intuitively. Not everyone has the ability to be intuitive with everyone else or a new person. I think it's not a super common skill, and I think that's why we both really value being able to work with people and offer them this, because we know how meaningful it is to us to have this, and we know we can offer. We know we've got the ability to also offer it, and so this is why this work I think is so meaningful, and there's so much purpose in it, because we're able to give something to someone else that for us comes with a lot of ease. And this isn't a brag. This is probably developed through our own hardship, honestly. Mm. It's probably developed, this intuition has developed through our own difficulty and pain and struggle. Mm. And this is the gift we got at the end, is the ability to not only show up for each other in this way, but to be able to offer that gift to other people through our work and be, genuinely tap into what they need and see, just pick up on what they need. It feels very easy and very natural for me to do that, and the same for you. But I understand it's not normal.
No.
A lot of people won't and can't fully, because it's a skill that's developed through varying factors.
Mm.
So I really appreciate that we both have that ability, because that means that showing up for each other in those ways is easeful. It's without thinking. We just flow into these experiences. We have conversations, but I don't have to map out how I need you to show up for me in a situation or a role play.
It's actually funny that you mentioned that, because we sometimes start being intimate in a particular way and almost like completely pivot in the middle of the experience without any conversation.
Yeah.
You know, we start out really hedonistic and then it's like, actually, you know what? Maybe some virgin energy would go here.
Yeah.
And then it just, like by the end of this experience, wholesome, like what the heck happened? Completely changed.
Yeah, we just created an experience with no discussion.
No pre-discussion.
Because we have this intuitive sense for each other now.
Yeah.
That we can also bring to people that we barely know. There's a quick sense of knowing someone. And of course we're going to communicate and ensure that everything's within their boundaries, but because we know each other well, we've got safe words in place, we can just flow.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful.
So, and we've got license to kind of improvise within an experience too.
That's very fun.
Yeah.
Very fun.
Going forward, like we talked about a couple of things that we have played with.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any kind of spontaneous thing that comes to mind for you, like any energy or any idea that you want to play with in the future?
Yeah. So I think tapping into the energy of, like, I really like tapping into a bit of like, I'm so wholesome, but really I'm not.
Mm.
So tapping into that, I know, imagine kind of like, a farm girl and she's out, you know, doing things out in the village, and mm-hmm. she like invites a boy out for a picnic on the hill, and she's all like, I'm so wholesome, and she's not wearing any underwear, and yet we're tapping into that kind of like naughty, like, I'm such a good girl, but really I'm not.
Yeah.
And playing with that energy and that role play, and you'll be the farm boy, you're seduced by me, and that's a bit sexy. Yeah. I like playing with that kind of innocent but not so innocent energy.
Like, I'm happy to be your farm boy anytime.
Go plow the fields.
Yeah, play your fields.
Good harvest. Anyway, what about you?
For me, so we go pretty deep most of the time.
We do.
But sometimes it can be fun to just play with sex without going deep as well. So without going deep is probably not the right way of framing it. Let's just say in a casual, more superficial energy, let's say just playfully introducing sexual actions and experiences into kind of like a day-to-day experience of like, we're just unpacking the shopping or being on the phone to Telstra
and or next minute
washing the dishes and like, what are you doing? Oh, that's great. Yeah, you can keep doing that. You know,
So it's a little bit of that free use energy, a little bit of that, like, I'm off, you're like, I can step into being sexual in a setting that shouldn't really be a sexual setting. It's a bit naughty, taboo element of it. Yeah.
Or even like, say, I literally am unpacking the groceries and you just decide to go down on me for half a minute and then that's it. Zip me up, move on, next thing.
Yeah.
And kind of just almost like building sexual energy through micro interactions that are sexual interactions that are typically reserved to after the foreplay and after the kids are in bed and now we're in the bed, like, screw that.
Yeah.
We're just going to do a little bit of fellatio as in the garden as part of watering the tomatoes. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm just going to go pay this bill and, online and just tapping away on the computer, and next minute the skirt's been pulled up, the panties have been pulled down. And
yeah, I'm that sort of thing.
Paying that bill online while I'm, receiving you.
Yeah. That's fun. That's fun. It I like is that. Fun. What do you guys think?
Yeah. Disgusting, let us know.
Or hot.
Disgusting or hot. Yes. Disgusting. Mm, in the best way.
We should start a thread about that. It'd be really interesting.
It would be. I'm curious to hear about what people are, curious about in their own kind of, journeys, and what they might be curious about role playing, or what they have role played with, and what has been healing for them in that experience.
Yeah. Give us some comments. We'll make a poll.
Yeah. That would be hot. That would be hot. Yeah. Mm.
See where that goes.
Yeah. Well, we should wrap it up so we can go and play Farm Girl.
Yeah. Sounds good to me. All right.
Till next time.
Bye.
Bye. That's all for today's episode. Thanks so much for joining us.
If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review, subscribe, and share this episode with a friend.
You can find us on our socials or head to our website for more information. Our links are in the show notes.
We'll see you next time.
We can go again if you want.